I found it very interesting what she just said. I want to tell y'all something that you may know and then you may not know, and I don't think we all fully realize, especially us, that have been raised in the house of God with a fair amount of shelter over our home life and what we are exposed to. But there is an exceeding gross darkness in America. There is an exceeding gross darkness in America. The darkness is growing. Sadly, it is not receding. When our own president gets up and makes a statement and says we are a post-Christian nation, that should have caused evangelical Christians to have rose up with a great shout. But you probably didn't hardly hear it mentioned more than twice, even in the house of God. It didn't have that ripple effect that it should have had. And there's darkness that is growing around us that we are unaware of. A deep darkness. And the devil doesn't wait until we're 20 years old and married to start interjecting that darkness into our minds and our habits and into our personal real life encounter with things. The devil doesn't wait to there. And this darkness is appalling to me. I do not think at times that we recognize it, because the Bible says that the devil has the ability to make himself into an angel of light. That's the word of God. And so he doesn't come. The devil does not show up, young folks. The devil doesn't show up in your bedroom in the form of the devil with two little horns and a pointy tail and a pitchfork in his hand. That's not the way he shows up. He don't show up at the end of your bed and say, "Hey, look, I'm the devil," and make you shake in your boots, because if he did that, then he would never have the opportunity to deceive you. You would say, "Well, I know who you are, and I don't want anything to do with you." So he takes on other forms and makes his way into our lives if we're not careful. I want to read a scripture to you here in Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 15. Listen to this. "Now I will give her vineyards from thence." And this is the part that I really want to talk about. "And the valley of Achor for a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. But I'm going to make a door of hope in the valley of Achor." 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Is there anybody here that'll say that part with me? "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you just a little while this morning. I realize you're sleepy and tired, and you've stayed up and played, and so I'm going to do my best to get this message across to you, and then I will get out of the way, and hopefully what I have said will stick in your mind. But I want to talk to you a little bit today about a door in the dark. A door in the dark. The devil has slipped in. It's amazing that Sister Darla said what she did, because I've got some things to say about it this morning. Satan is on the rampage in America, okay? And he's come in real subtly. I remember I was in a meeting in Oklahoma, and I can't remember. I was up around Norman somewhere, and we went into Norman. It was late to eat, and it was actually very late. It was somewhere around 11-ish, somewhere in there, and we were getting ready to go in a restaurant to eat, and I remember I looked down. There was a very nice, what we would call, how many know what the word swanky means? Anybody know that word? Ritzy, rich-looking neighborhood, and very nice stores there, and there was a big bookstore there, and it may have been a Borders or something like that, big bookstore, and there was people. Now listen, it's 11-something at night. There's people standing down the sidewalk. They're down the sidewalk, and they're out in the parking lot, just a string of them. And, it's 11-something at night, and I'm standing there going, what's all them crazy people doing standing out there like the thing's fixing to open in a minute? Well, unbeknownst to me, it was. And I went in, and I asked the little hostess there, I said, what's all them people doing out there? She said, well, don't you know? Well, no, if I did, I wouldn't be asking you. She said, oh, she said, the newest edition of the Harry Potter book is coming out, and they're standing there at the door waiting for them to open the door at midnight so that they can get that and take that home with them. And I remember standing there thinking, what darkness we've got into. We have come to a place where, and I'm going to talk to you this morning, I'm not going to try to be offensive, but I'm going to try to just get right down where we're at. We have come to a place where Hollywood is all about casting spells and witches and warlocks and vampires and all of these things that are demonic and we don't even realize it. People watch things like Twilight and say, oh, that's so cute and neat. There's not good and bad vampires. There's just bad vampires from God's point of view. But you see, this darkness has come down into America and has invaded us. And we are tricked by it. This young man that my wife was talking about, He was raised in the house of God, went to a Christian school all of his life, had every advantage you could possibly have in the house of God, and yet here he is. He looked me, I was his pastor, he looked me in the eye, and this is what he said. He said, I'm going to tell you, preacher, why I got into witchcraft. He said, because God, the devil, answers faster than God does. Now, that may not alarm you, but that alarmed me. He was into casting spells, got to talking to witches, got to talking how to do all this stuff, got all involved in it, got devil possessed. I hope y'all help me just here just a little bit. He got all involved in this stuff. Here was what the problem was. He was wanting to go to the altar. He was wanting to pray about things. He was wanting God to answer his prayer without having a regeneration in his heart. He did not want to sell out to God. He just wanted God to answer his prayer. He didn't want to give his life over to God. He just wanted God to do things his way. So when God didn't do things his way, he said, well, if God won't do it, then I'll turn to the devil. Oh, come on now. You say, well, I would never do that. But we get involved in things that we don't really realize what's going on. We don't realize that there's spirits attached to those things. We don't understand that there's a darkness that is in the world today that means to get into our life and get into our mind. How many know why the devil is here? He came to destroy. He came to kill, to steal, and destroy. How many knows that that's the work of the devil, those three things? Raise your hand at me. You know that that's the work of the devil. He means to get us into a place where we are hopeless. He means to get us into a place where we feel helpless. He means to get us up into a corner where we feel like we're all by ourselves and nobody cares and nobody really knows where we're at. I feel like I'm going to talk to somebody in here today, but I come to tell you, in in the darkness that the devil has pervaded this country with, in the darkness that he has pervaded your school with, or invaded your school with, in the darkness that your friends have got wrapped around their life and their mind, I come to tell y'all today, there is a door in that dark. I said, there is a door in that dark. The Valley of Achor was really what's known as a valley of death. It was where Achan and his whole family died for their sin against God and hiding things. I'm going to tell y'all young people something. It's still dangerous to hide things. We live in a day where it is easier to hide things than ever before. That's right. We've got phones. We've got iPads. I'm not against any of this stuff. I am not against technology. I am against some of the things we do with technology, but I'm not against technology. There's no sin in technology. You can agree or disagree, but there is no sin in technology. But we are in a place where we can do things, we can talk to people, we can get involved in things, and nobody really ever has, unless they stumble on some way. They really never have a way of knowing what we get involved in. And what we don't realize is that initial excitement of when we begin to get involved in something that we know we're not supposed to, that tremor and that quivering inside and that excitement that comes along with just doing something that's out there on the edge, that you know what's happening? There is a darkness that's coming down into our life, and we don't realize it. No, the lights don't go out all of a sudden. No, we go back to the house of God, and the Spirit of God moves, and we still feel a little tremor inside. It is not because God is sanctioning what we are doing. It's God trying to draw us out of there and say, hey, listen, before you get your heart in, before you get your mind involved, before you get in a place you can't get out of, let me show you I've got a door over here that can get you out of the place you're in. He makes it appealing. I said he makes it appealing. I don't even remember where I was at. I don't have a television. And so I don't remember where I was. I was somewhere, and I seen this. I seen this. And some of you is going to know what I'm talking about. And it took me a little bit. I was looking, and I was kind of trying to figure out what was going on. And it was intriguing. And I've already said something about this. I'm going to say a little more about it. Because I seen it, and I got to looking at it, and it didn't take long for my spirit to get up, I guess, inside of me, when I realized what was going on. And it was what I said. I said something a while ago about twilight. And I got to, and this guy's floating around up in a tree, and he takes his girlfriend up there in his tree, and they're sitting up in his tree, and boy, it's real, real peaceful looking and magical, and, you know, And you're sitting there going, boy, that's pretty neat looking, you know, how they do all that. And then they do this, you know, they get in this big fight. But it got the dawning on me. It took me a little bit because, see, I'm out of the loop. It had the dawning on me. These people's vampires. Hello? Back when I wasn't saved, the only vampire I knew about was Dracula. There wasn't nothing nice about him. But you know what the devil has done? He took the clothes off of Dracula and he dressed him up different and made him look appealing. And all of a sudden you say, well, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. He's making us take little steps in the wrong direction.
Come on now. He's getting us wrapped up in something, and after a while there's a darkness in that that'll get in our heart and it'll get in our mind, and before we know it, it's a step into something else, and before we know it, we're going to want to cast a spell on somebody, and before all, you say that's not the way it happens. I've already seen it happen too much already. It is invading us. I said it is invading us here in America, but I come to tell you, young people, there's a better way to live than that. There's still a way to live in the light. I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost. I said there's a way to live in the light. There's a door in the dark of this world.
Because I'm going to tell you what he ultimately wants to do, and here's why I want to talk to you. He ultimately wants to get your mind turned in to that darkness. You say, well, preacher, I'll never get there, really. I'm going to tell you how I felt the last 2 days. I felt like there was going to be some young people here, that there was a darkness that has invaded your life. You haven't even talked to anybody about it. It's not been a discussion. But you know it's there. You know it's there because of what it whispers in your ear, that you're an outcast, that nobody understands who you are. You know, the world hasn't, and the world today, they carry everything too far. They want everything to be politically correct. There is a little something to this bullying business. Not a lot. Not a lot. Not what they are wanting to make it. They're wanting to make it into a more of a hate crime, just if you don't line up with their ideas. And that's not what, but there is something to it. And there's some of you that do not feel like that you're worth anything. There's a darkness that's in your mind. You say, well, preacher, I just don't believe that. Hold on, then I'm not talking to you. I want to tell y'all something. I went deer hunting back in November out in the West, and a friend of mine that I've known all of his life since he was a little boy went with us. And but you know what? A darkness, when he was young, like you all sitting in here, had got into his heart and into his mind. He was a preacher's son, raised in the house of God all of his life, great church, heard lots of good preaching, but a darkness had got in him, and you could not touch him where he was at. Hello? And I was holding a revival for Brother David Webb, and my wife came in, and I was asleep, and she woke me up, and I sat up. I'll never forget it. It made me shake. I shook all over. Inside, I shook. When she called his name and said, he committed suicide last night, his mom and dad's yard. You say, you know, preacher, I'm not going to do that. How do you know? Who said? You know what it was? A darkness had so invaded that young man's mind that with everything in the world going for him, everything was going for him. He could have anything he wanted. But he got to a place in his life where the spirits that had got a hold of him, their voices got louder than the voice of his reason, and even the voice of God, and drowned out everything else. And it caused him to put a pistol to his head, sitting in his mom and dad's front yard, and send himself into eternity. It did not start. Are y'all listening to me this morning? It did not happen over one day. It didn't happen over 2 days. And you know what? Multiple times, Brother Hurst, I seen God show that young man a door in his darkness. And he would ignore it. God would say, I've got a way for you to get out of that. I've got a way for you to get away from what is bothering you. I've got a way for you to come out from under that temptation. But he wouldn't pay any attention to it. And he shunned the hand of God. And I had to stand there around that casket and listen to that mom and daddy bend over that casket. And I remember in the middle of the night, you say, well, you're crazy. I wouldn't be in a church with a dead body in the middle of the night. He can't hurt you. I remember going in there about 1 o'clock in the morning, walking up to that casket with nobody in the house, waiting on that funeral the next morning, and looking into that casket and thinking, my God, what got into your mind? I called him by name. What in the world got into your mind? I'll tell you what it was. There was a darkness that had got a hold of him. It's the same darkness that's trying to get a hold of some of y'all in here today. It's the same darkness that's been trying to invade some of your life. You say, I won't ever get there. I tell you, there's young people all over America that are killing themselves because they feel like there is no hope. But God said, I'm going to give you a door of hope right in the darkest valley that there is. And I come to tell some folks this morning, there's a door in your darkness.
Preacher, you don't understand how rough my life is. No, and I'm going to tell you something. I am not here to downplay the fact that things may not be good in your life. There may be young people under the sound of my voice. You may be victims of abuse of some sort or another. You may feel like there is things that have been stolen from you inside that you can't ever get back. But I'm going to tell you something. I know somebody that mends things. Man, is there anybody in here? I said, I know somebody that mends things. I know somebody that has the ability to turn the light on in your shalom. I said, I know somebody that has the ability to turn the light on in your life. How many knows God knows where the light switch is? If you don't believe it, you haven't heard about the story of old Saul when he was on his way to Damascus and didn't realize he was dark inside. But all of a sudden, the King of Heaven flipped the light on. Hallelujah. And amen. And when he did, old Saul fell off of his horse and he realized God is here. I come to tell somebody today, God is standing here at the door waiting for you. I said, God is standing here at the door waiting for you. No temptation. Huh? You said, preacher, I'm just not worth anything. Everybody's smarter than I am. I'm always the last for anything. Really, you're not worth anything? I disagree. Let me read you a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. I'm not going to be up here much longer. You're not worth anything? What? Oh, God, help me. God loves other people more than you. What? What's the first word in that scripture on the wall? I can't really ever, you don't know what I've already done. I can't ever really be anything for God. What? Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. You don't realize what I've already got involved with. God's not going to forgive me. What? What? What
What are you trying to tell me? Let me tell you what the Bible says. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are y'all feeling what I am, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? But listen right here. Ye are bought with a price. I come to tell you, you are worth something. You was worth God's only begotten Son. You was worth the greatest price heaven could give. And he said, I'm going to send my Son. So when you get in the darkest place in your life, there's going to be a door in the dark. I said, there's going to be a door in the dark for you to get out of there. There's young people under the sound of my voice that you have already got involved in things that have such a hold on your mind that you want loose. You pray to be loose. In the back of your mind, you came here thinking, you know, it'd be really nice if God would do something for me and I would get away from that. And then the devil says, there's nobody that has that. You're kind of a freak. That's what the devil says. Oh, I wish the Lord had helped me right here. You're kind of a freak. You're such a weakling. You're always falling down. And you fell down so many times, and you prayed about it so many times now that God don't want you back. I felt the Holy Ghost here a few weeks back speak to me, and this is how he spoke to me. Isn't it interesting that no matter how many times you've prayed and said, devil, I don't want anything else to do with you. I don't want anything else to do with the things that you want me to be involved in. He's always ready to take you back, but wants to make you think that God don't want you back. My God, help me. The devil always wants you back, but wants to make you think that God don't want you back. I come to tell you, it's a lie from the devil. God's saying, come here, come here, come here quick, come here quick. I got a door right over here. I got a door right over here. It'll get you out of there. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But with that temptation, he said, I'm going to give you a door in the dark. I'm going to give you a way out. Some of you have got involved in things and you already feel like things are so dark that you can't find the door. Brother Nathan, would you help me just a minute, brother? I want you to just walk through here like you're blind and you're searching with your eyes closed. Just slowly looking. I'm looking, preacher. I want God to help me. I want to get loose from some of these things that I've already tried. I can't find it. I go to the altar and I try to pray, and I can't seem to find it. I just feel like I'm groping around. I don't feel like God wants me anymore. I don't feel like God cares about me anymore. I really don't feel like anybody knows where I'm at, and I'm just groping in the darkness. I'm going to tell you, God said, listen, I'll not leave you there groping in the dark. If you can't find the door for yourself, I tell you what I'll do. Here, take my hand and let me tell you something. I am the door. He said, I am the door. Hey, brother, you may not can find it by yourself, but God said, I'm the door, and I'll let you in. And I come to tell you today, there is a door in the dark for you.
the thing that has bothered me worst about my friend killing himself, other than I know the consequences. The thing, Brother Hurst, that has bothered me worse is I can't help thinking about what those last few minutes was like. When the darkness got so dark and the voices in his head got so loud that he couldn't even think for himself. You know what the problem was? The problem was he could have found the door, but now it got so dark and he thought the only way out of this darkness is to take my own life. But I come to tell you this morning, that's not the answer. God's got a better answer for you. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Are y'all in this house right now? I want everybody in here to stand all over the house. My God, my God, my God, my God, while every head is bowed. Every head's bowed. Listen, let me tell you something. You say, preacher, but you don't understand, I'm a man. I never do anything like that. I'm not scared of anything. You're a liar. You'll get scared of the dark when the devil's in it. And they found people just like you hanging from her ceiling fan in their room because it got so dark that they didn't feel like life was worth living. But I come to tell somebody today, God has a door for you in the dark. Every head is bowed. Absolutely nobody's looking around, and every eye is closed. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking. I want to ask you a question right now. Is there anybody that would be willing to slip up your hand and say, preacher, I've got some darkness that I want God to take out of me today? Come on now. Come on now. God already knows. Slip them up. Slip them up high. I got some darkness. The devil's already talked to you. The devil's already talked to you. You've already heard him whisper in the night. You might as well just end it. You're not worth anything anyway. Listen to me. God is here this morning, and there's a door at this altar. While every head is bowed, is there anybody that would like to come find the door this morning? Is there anybody that would step out of their pew right now? Come on. Come on. You'd step out of your pew right now and say, I need, my God, that's right. That's right. God sees the tears. God sees the tears. My God, God sees the tears. God sees your heart. He sees what's going on. It's not time for a show this morning. The door's here. It's not time to make an impression on all the rest of the youth group about how holy you are. God's here this morning to show you a door. Ah, come on now. Keep your head bowed. Let's don't worry about who else is coming. Let's think about ourselves this morning. Where are you at? Where are you at? I'm not quite through. I'm not quite through. I'm not quite through. There's a young lady still standing here that you're involved. You've already done some things that's caused darkness to start to pervade your life and your mind. And the Holy Ghost is telling me you need to move right now. Oh,
There's a door here for you. You can go home tonight, lay down in your bed and say, you know what? I found a door in my dark. Is there somebody else that'll step out right now? Is there somebody else that'll step out right now? You're not worried about what anybody else thinks. Somebody else that'll step out right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. What are you waiting on? I said, what are you waiting on? That's right. Come on. What are you waiting on? Step out of there. Step out of there. All right. We've got work to do around these altars. I want everybody that wants to be full of God to come to this altar. I want everybody that wants to live for God to come to this altar. I want us to get on our knees. I want us to say, oh God, fill me with you. Oh God, there's a door in the dark.
Without him, I could not sing. He is closer than a brother. Above him, there's no other. Without him, where would I be? Oh, Jesus, what a friend is he. Of need. When this old world has left me all alone,
God, I'm going to walk through the door and never look back today.
Walking right by me.
God, I'm walking out of the dark.
And everyone walks out.
He walks in, proving once again that he's my dearest friend.
And he promised my
that
God.
He'll go with me always, even till the end. And I'm glad he's the rock upon which I stand. He's the present help in time of need. When this old world.
You don't know what the devil's already got me bound up with. I don't have to know. I just know when everyone walks out, he walks in. Woo! And says, let me show you a door in your darkness.
And he promised that he'd go with me always, even till the end. World stands. He promised he would hold my hand. He said I'd never walk alone. He said he'd go with me always.
My.
Good times, the dark days. He said he'd be my friend.
Oh, you know what he wants to be?
Oh, Jesus.
The best friend
in my life. Woo! Upon which I stand, oh, when he's the present help in time of need. When this whole world has left me all alone, I can feel him walking right by me. And when everyone walks out, he walks in, proving once again that he's my dearest friend.
And he promised
that he'd go with me always,
my God.
Even till the end. And I'm glad he's
My.
When this world has left me all alone, I can feel Him walking right by me.
Come on, young folks. The door is here. Hallelujah. I said the door is here.
Proving once again that He's my dearest friend. And He promised that He'd go with me always.
Oh,
even till the end.
My.
Jesus is my high tower, a light in a dark hour. Without Him I could not see. He is closer than a brother. Above Him there's no other. Without Him I could not see. Oh, Jesus, what a friend is He.
Yes.
He's the rock upon which I stand. He's a present help in time of need.
My.
When this old world has left me all alone, I can feel Him walking right by me.
God, I'm willing to sell out.
And when everyone walks out, He walks in.
That's when you'll know He's
proving truly. Proving once again that He's my dearest friend. And He promised that He'd go with me always, even till the end. Just as long as this old world stands, He promised He would hold my hand. He said I'd never walk alone. He said He'd go with me always. Go with me all.